Welcome to the long-awaited return of the weekly Fantasy Lounge podcast. Alongside my partner Kevin, I'm Brandon, administrator of the Fantasy Lounge. In this episode, I attempt to struggle through our big fantasy football preview, while Kevin tears me apart mercilessly with his own analysis. You may have already guessed it, but football is not exactly my strong point.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. I can attest to that. We will rank top 10 players at QB, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and the top 10 team defenses, and discuss the big three as far as baseball trade rumors go.
Let's get started with the second most important position on your fantasy roster, quarterback. Kevin, what's your 10 through 6?
I'm going to start off with Mark Bolger of the Rams, who came off injury last year, played only 9 games last year. I think he'll bounce back nicely and have a nice year. And then another guy that was hurt last year, of course, he has that serious knee injury, Dante Culpepper, who got traded to Miami during the offseason. A couple years ago, this guy just had MVP caliber year. And I think he can, well, not return to the same form, but close to it in Miami. Then Jake Delhomme, who might be the most underrated quarterback in the National Football League. Never hear people talking about him, but he puts up solid numbers every year in and year out. Then I go with Peyton Manning's brother Eli, who should also have a good year this year, and then Trent Green, who just puts up monster numbers every year, and nobody ever talks about him as well. So
you know, I agree with you a little bit on this. I also disagree a little bit. I think I don't even have Culpepper in my top 10 because, you know, he did have an MVP-type year a few years ago, but that was when he had Moss. And ever since he's lost Moss, he did play on a pretty crappy Vikings team. Plus, you mentioned he's coming off surgery. I don't think we can rate him in the top 10 just yet. I think he's got the capabilities to put up a top 10 season, but I think we're just going to have to wait on him. I don't know. We mentioned only playing in 7 games last year. We really don't know what to expect from this guy. So I have, mine are pretty similar. At 10, I've got Eli. 9, I've got Delhomme. 8, I have Bolger. 7, I have Bledsoe, which you didn't mention. And 6, I have Green. I like Bledsoe because he's got T.O. in town, and I think the sky's the limit. And, you know, whether you like to say it or not, the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender, and they've got the offense to do it. And I think, you know, Bledsoe's going to be key to that, and he could have some value.
Here's the problem with Bledsoe. I mean, this guy, he's what, 33, 34, 35 years old? This guy's got to slow down sometime. I mean, he can't continue. I don't think he can.
Well, that's what they've said about Favre all these years.
Well, Brett Favre is an exception. I mean, you know,
well, I'm not
he's
gonna
easily
compare,
top three QB
not,
of all time.
I'm so. Not going to compare Bledsoe and Favre, but I'm just saying, you know, there are guys in this league who get around that age factor. And I don't know. He had a decent year last year, and now he's got one of the best receivers in the game to throw to.
But can T.O., let's see if T.O. can keep his mouth shut and play football.
Well, I was going to save
this. That's a big if.
So. I was going to save this till the wide receiver part, but, you know, T.O.'s first year, he should be fine. He was in Philly and, you know, obviously was in San Francisco. It's when you start to get into the second year and beyond was when he starts to, get up to his little antics. But
yeah, he's really never had a coach like Bill Parcells, so. And you know, Parcells won't put up with its crap and all the things that T.O. Puts the coach through, puts the team through. So I think he'll, you know, T.O. will probably change this year, hopefully. But back to Dante real quick. Throughout history, you've always had great quarterbacks, you've always had solid receivers and one great receiver. So, I mean,
but
you just can't say just because he had Moss that, you know, he had career years or MVP caliber years, he still had a.
Yeah, but I'm looking at when he lost Moss, you know, what his numbers were.
Oh yeah, he didn't have anybody really to throw to. I mean,
well, he had Burleson, but I mean, and I agree, he has a little bit of a better team down there in Miami. He's got Chambers, and you know, I don't know. I don't think you can put him in the top 10 yet when the guy's only played 7 games last year. You know, football is a funny sport with injuries.
Especially with his knee injury. That knee injury is, especially for a quarterback, that's a serious deal. So I'm hoping he can bounce back from it.
All right, now on to the top five quarterbacks. In my top five, I have Carson Palmer, Donovan McNabb, Matt Hasselbeck, Tom Brady, and, of course, Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning is obviously the number one pick going to be this year. And I think Brady is going to be the number two. I think though, it's between two and five, I think it's pretty close. Palmer might be a little bit of a longer shot because of his injury and his, you know, but he's got a good team to throw to, that's for sure. I think McNabb, Hasselbeck, and Brady are all, you know, they're going to be real close this year.
Well, you know, just like Palmer and McNabb, I mean, we have four or five guys on this list that are coming off serious injuries at the quarterback position.
But also, don't forget,
Palmer is a lot like Culper's injury, how serious it is. So.
Right, but don't forget, McNabb, he's got T.O. out. It's his show now. He's got a lot to prove, and I think he's going to come out and try to do it.
Yeah, I don't understand these people that say come out and say, T.O. McNabb went to the Super Bowl because of T.O. and all this garbage.
T.O.
was hurt.
Mr. Shaq's rings. Yeah, I don't think so. But anyway, you know, it's just like, T.O.'s definitely going to hurt him, but I think he's going to be fine still.
Well, he was arguably having his best year until he got hurt last year. And what, T.O. only played, what, seven games last year? So, I mean,
well,
T.O.
how many did McNabb play, though?
McNabb played nine.
Well, okay.
But, you know what? He went to how many NFC championship games? He went to, what, three or four NFC championship games without T.O.? I don't think McNabb gets the credit that he deserves.
No, he doesn't. He's underrated like Thelome is. And, you know, Brady is another good fantasy quarterback. I think he gets a little bit overrated in fantasy because of his, you know, obviously when you've got the rings, he does.
Yeah, but, I mean, he put up the best year he had last year of his career. Well, and that had a lot to do, of course, with, you know, Corey Dillon being inconsistent. And,
I think Brady
will get back to his numbers. I don't think he'll have put up as good of numbers as he did last year because the Patriots addressed their backup running back situation with Lawrence Maroney, drafting Lawrence Maroney. So,
yeah, but, you know,
I think Dillon will be a lot frustrated.
It doesn't really,
running game.
As long, I mean, a balanced running attack is going to help. A balanced running and passing attack is going to always help a quarterback anyway. It takes pressure off of him. It takes defensive pressure off of him, too. And, you know, I don't think that you can really say that's going to hurt him.
I don't know.
It's real close at the top. I mean, Peyton Manning's obviously in a league of his own.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's, you know... He did lose his star running back, but I think that... I mean, even that... I think either way, there's bonuses losing your star running back or getting a star running back. Because if you lose him... You're obviously going to be throwing more passes, but if you're bringing on a running back, then you're going to have a more balanced attack, and it's going to be less pressure on you. So.
I think the Colts will be all right. I mean, Joseph Adley and Dominic Rhodes will be. I mean, their running back position will be fine. So, well, now for the most important position on your roster, running back. Brandon, how's your list go?
Well, you know, running backs are definitely the most important. I have. Edgerrin James at 10, Lamont Jordan at 9, Ronnie Brown at 8, Rudy Johnson at 7, and Steven Jackson at 6. I think, as far as Edgerrin James, this is going to be interesting to follow. He's going to get a lot of carries, and he's going to have the chance to basically resurrect the Cardinals. He's going to be their franchise player. New stadium, high expectations with Leinart in town and everything. I'll tell you, the buzz around here is real big. But I think all these guys, like I said, are pretty solid. And I mean, the top 10 running backs, they're all going to be somewhat similar in their stats. I mean, running backs are running backs. They're your bread and butter in fantasy football.
Yeah, running backs win you championships. My top 10 go, or my top 6, 10 through 6 go like this. Cadillac Williams at 10, Mont Jordan at 9, Edgerrin James at 8, Reed Johnson at 7, Steven Jackson at 6. So ours are pretty similar.
Yeah, I like Steven Jackson because, you know, his path is clear without Falk, and he has a strong offense, and, you know, he should put up some solid numbers this year.
Yeah, Linehan is going to have a much more balanced attack than Martz did. I mean, you know, Mike Martz, he's a
character.
He's a crazy pass freak, so...
He's crazy all the way around.
Yeah, and, you know, Steven Jackson only got, some games last year got, 15 carries sometimes. You need to get that guy the ball more, and he'll get the ball more now with the more balanced attack.
You also got to like Rudy Johnson. He's gonna well-balanced offense there, and he's going to be playing with a good quarterback, so you think he's going to get... Besides just the rushing yards, a big part of running backs is going to be the receiving yards, and he's one of the guys that is going to get plenty of those.
His stock could even go up more because, say if Palmer, I'm sure they don't want to put the full load on Palmer early in the year.
That's
so
a good point,
that means
too.
Johnson's going to get the more carries and more yards for your team. So
that's true.
His stock can even rise even more.
All right, well, what about the top five?
This is pretty interesting. It's kind of debatable. I got Tiki Barber, Clinton Portis, of course, Sean Alexander, LT, and LJ. Those are 5-1 for me.
Yeah, mine are basically the same. I just have Portis and Barber switched up. You know, Barber just, I don't know, he hasn't slowed down yet. And I don't see any reason to believe he's going to.
Yeah, he had his best year last year.
The Giants just keep getting better and better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Portis, you know, Washington, too. They're going to be a great team this year, too, you know. They could be a contender as well, so I don't know.
That offense is loaded, and they got Saunders as their offensive coordinator now. So, I mean, that team offensively, they are just loaded, and I see them as a Super Bowl caliber team, easily.
And in the top three, I think, you know, pretty much unanimous. Most people have LJ because, you know, obviously the year he had last year, not even playing a full season, the kid's going to be amazing. You know, Tomlinson, same old story like it is every year, the last couple years. Just he's a great player. And, you know, Alexander, it's going to be interesting to see if he's going to keep it up outside of his contract year.
And in fact that he lost Steve Hutchinson, I mean, you can argue that Hutchinson's the best offensive lineman in the game. And the news just came out today that Willie Rofe is going to retire for the Chiefs, so
that's
going to be interesting if that hurts LJ's value at all, if his numbers will go down at all. But I doubt it that they'll go down that much. I think he'll get over 2,000 yards this year. I mean, we haven't had a 2,000-yard back in, since...
I think since Priest Holmes.
Yeah,
is that
Priest
right?
Holmes and Terrell, or... Terrell Davis, you know, about, 8 years ago? So I think this is the last two or three guys.
Yeah, Priest Holmes did it, 4 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, 3-4 years ago. So,
yeah, I remember I had him that year.
So, you know, I think, you really can't go wrong with either three of these guys. I mean, if these guys fall to you, if you have fourth or fifth pick and one of these guys fall to you, consider yourself lucky because these guys are clearly the three top guys in the league. At the running back position.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're up to wide receiver. It's a position that can yield you major points, but can also kill you if your players aren't scoring a lot of touchdowns. So who you got?
To lead it off, I got Hines Warren at 10 from Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, there's another guy nobody ever talks about. He just puts up 1,000-yard receiving yards every year. You know, he just puts up solid numbers every year. And then my guy I got at 9 is Chris Chambers, who I think could be a sleeper this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with Dante coming back and that being his number one target. And then Anquan Boldin from the Cardinals. This guy he's just a stud to go along with Fitz. I mean, you know, these two are, you know, they could be the best combo in football. And Boldin just, you know, he had that great year a couple years ago and had another great year last year. So expect him to keep it up. The next guy, Randy Moss. Everybody knows Randy Moss, what he does for your team. It's going to be interesting what type of year he has because of the Raiders quarterback situation, having Aaron Brooks at QB. I don't know if I don't know how that situation will pan out and what Randy Moss's numbers will be, but he's still a top 10 wide receiver. And then the last guy I have at 6 is Marvin Harrison. Another guy that's just in that Colts offense, he'll put numbers up. And so what about yours?
I have at 10, I have Chambers. 9, I have Ward. 8, I have Moss. 7, I have Harrison. And 6, I have Bolden. I think, you know, both of these Arizona receivers, Fitzgerald and Bolden, they're going to have better years this year than last year because there's, like I said, there's going to be less pressure on the passing game. And then you've got Leinart in town. And, I mean, chances are Warner's going to get hurt and Leinart's going to step in. And, you know, there's high expectations for him, but I think he's going to live up to it. Chambers, you know, Culpepper's in town, so we're going to see how that works out if he comes back. And also, it's the same story with Ward. You know, we're going to have to wait and see on Big Ben if he's going to be healthy enough to keep him in the top 10. I don't know. I mean, and, you know, Randy Moss, he's Randy Moss. I think no matter who's throwing to him, I think you could throw to him and he's going to still...
Just throw it up and he'll get it.
He's still going to... He's going to be over 1,000 yards, like always. And then you have Marvin Harrison, who, with Edgerrin James gone, you know, the flip side, there's going to be... Now there's going to be more of a focus on passing, so... His numbers could even go up along with Peyton's, which is scary.
My top five go like this. T.O. at 5. Everybody knows, you know, T.O., we talked about him earlier. Can he just stay in games and keep his mouth shut and play football? That will be the key, but he'll be Bledsoe's number one target, clearly. He'll get, you know, if he plays the whole year, he'll get, you know, 1,500 yards receiving and over 100 catches like he does every year. Then I got Fitzgerald, who we also talked about a few minutes ago. He's just outstanding and keeps improving. His numbers keep improving year in and year out. So expect more of the same from him. At 3, I got Chad Johnson, who's going to be Carson Palmer's number one target once again for the third year in a row. You know, he just puts up solid numbers every year. And then at 2, I got my boy Torrey Holt. Nobody, I think, you know, on SportsCenter and all the shows on ESPN, all you hear about is T.O. and Chad Johnson, Steve Smith, and you never hear about Torrey, and he just puts up great numbers every single year, and you know, with that Rams receiving core, I mean, who it could be the best in football. So you know, he'll put up numbers. And then the clear number one, Steve Smith, with Carolina. His numbers could even improve this year with the Carolina getting Keyshawn in the offseason. So I wouldn't be too shocked if his numbers got better even than they were last year. So
yeah, mine are basically the same. They got T.O. at 5, you know, like we said before, it's his first year that he's fine, it's the second year where things start to go sour. Fitzgerald for the same reasons as Bolden. Chad Johnson, but once again, his success is going to ride on Carson Palmer and, you know, how he comes back from that bad injury. And then I have Holt, too, because, you know, he's still one of the best receivers in the game and a great receiving core there in St. Louis, and he's going to be Bolger's main target, obviously. And then Steve Smith, playing with an underrated quarterback on an underrated team that, you know, even after their Super Bowl run, I think they're still a little underrated. I think they need to be counted as a major contender this year to win the
Yeah, win they're, the clear, they're the clear leader in the NFC, there's no doubt. I also forgot to mention that their running back position will even improve this year, since they got, forgot, and now I'm going blank on his name. The running back they got. I'm going blank, guys. Sorry about that. But and then they got what was their other? I'm just going blank here. So we're gonna move on.
Shocking.
We're gonna move on to tight ends here. Moving on to tight ends here. The three main positions covered. So we move to tight end. This position is a poor man's wide receiver, which can still yield you plenty of points if you make a solid choice on draft day. Brandon, what's your top 10 through 6?
I have Witten at 10 because I think he's very solid, but T.O. is in town, and that's definitely going to hurt his value. I think less passes, obviously, for a tight end. Ben Watson, because in New England, you know, a great quarterback is going to make his possibilities endless because, you know, plus, you know, with Branch holding out, you know, you never know what's going to happen there. And then I have LJ Smith, because now that T.O. on the other side of the Witten, of Witten here, he's got T.O. out of town. So, you know, he's going to get some, he's going to get a lot more passes than he did last year. Seven, I have Chris Cooley because obviously that great Washington defense that he's going to be on, that's going to help him out a lot. And then sixth, I have Randy McMichael because kind of like Chambers, you know, he's got Culpepper in town, so it's going to just depend on what he does and how he comes back from his injury and how he meshes with his new team.
Well, I just remember that running back is Deshaun Foster.
Thank you.
The fantasy guru here. Anyways, I got a couple surprises in mine. Top 10 through 6 in my 10 ends. At 10, I got Kellen Winslow. Look, guys, this guy, he's such a talented guy at Miami. You know, he made a bonehead move and, you know, riding his motorcycle and getting that crash and doing all those willies and stuff. But I think he's completely healthy. He'll be fine. And he should be the number one target in that Browns offense.
Well, there's not much else
there. There isn't much there, but yeah. At 9, I got Chris Cooley. He just put, at the end of the year, he was a great pickup. In a lot of leagues, he was a free agent. And he was just a great pickup. And Mark Brunell's number one target at points last year. Number 8, I got Jason Witten. This guy actually could be falling because the Cowboys picked Anthony Fasano from Notre Dame in the second round of the draft.
And, of course, this is a Notre Dame guy, so, of course, you know.
Yeah, he could be getting a lot of playing time, so.
If you're in a league with Kevin, make sure you let Witten fall because you know he's probably not going to take
it. Yeah, I probably won't. And then number 7, I got another surprise, Vernon Davis. Look, I watched a lot of this guy in college. This guy is he's a stud. And he'll put up huge numbers in San Francisco because, but he's that's the only guy they got in San Francisco.
He's a rookie. He's a rookie in the NFL, and rookies in the NFL are not going to be number 6.
But he's not at a tough. He's not at a tough position. Like, see, no, I mean, like if he's quarterback, see if he's quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks, they don't make it in the NFL, but other position players, they do.
At times.
At tight end, it's I don't know.
But tight end,
he's not going to be a blocking tight end. He's not going to be in blocking schemes a lot. He's going to be all he has to do is catch the football, and he knows how to do that. So this guy is probably, I think he's the most talented tight end to come out of the draft in quite some time. So with him being the only target for Aaron Smith in San Francisco, I see him putting up big numbers. And then at 6, I got Randy McMichael, like you said, who will be another top target for Dante in Miami and. He'll put up good enough numbers to warrant being one of the top tight ends in football.
Well, I'll go ahead and go on with my top 5. I have Algie Crumpler, who's always solid. Then Todd Heap, he's also always solid, and he had good yards last year, and he went to ASU, so hey, there you go.
It's not a reason to pick him.
No, that's definitely a reason to pick him. Jeremy Shockey, because of an improving Eli, you know. He's just... any receiver on that Giants team is, you know, obviously going to improve in value a little bit this year just because Eli just keeps getting better and better and better. Then, you know, Tony Gonzalez, I think he's been underrated for, I mean, maybe not the last couple years, but before that, I mean, he had over 1,200 yards in 2004. There's, you know, not many wide receivers that are getting you 1,200 yards. And then, of course, number 1 has got to be Antonio Gates because nobody was even close last year. He was, what, like 200 yards over the next day?
Yeah, he was, I think he almost had 1,200 yards.
Yeah, he had like 1,150 or something like that.
Yeah, he's just amazing.
And the next guy down had 950, 940.
Gonzo had 800. I think he was the next guy. So, you know, he's clearly the best hitter in football. I think mine are exactly the same, actually.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of moving around in there anyway. These guys are... Tight end is not the... Let's be honest, it's not the deepest position in fantasy football.
Well, yeah, you don't... I mean, you wait a while to
it's almost
take a tight end.
Yeah, a little bit like catcher in baseball.
Yeah,
you know, there's a couple that are at the top of their game, you know, but after that, it's not a deep position by any...
Yeah, Gates puts up numbers like a normal receiver would, you know, like a... You know, I mean, he might put up better numbers than, say, a top 8 or top 7 receiver would, so...
Well, yeah, 1,100 yards. How many receivers had over that last year? Probably...
I'd say the top...
probably six or seven.
Six, seven, eight, around there. So put up the numbers he did. So, and then Algie Crumpler, he's Michael Vick's number one target. It's because the Falcons don't have too much either to throw at. He doesn't have too many guys to throw at either. So, and by the way, what kind of name is Algie? I'm just not to get off topic here, but who in the right mind would name their son Algie? I don't know, but.
Well, he's a good football player. Yeah, he's a good football player.
And then Todd Heap, we won't even talk about him.
Because, I know why we won't talk about him.
Yeah, he's a good receiver, though. I mean, ASU hasn't had too many guys actually come out of the draft, so he's one of the few guys to pick that
funny guy.
Actually went to ASU.
Funny guy. All right, well, the aspect that sets fantasy football apart from the other fantasy sports is the team defense that you have in standard leagues. A solid defense that can net you a decent amount of interceptions and fumbles, as well as sacks, can make or break you. Kevin, where should these defenses go?
All right, 10 through 6. I'll lead off.
By the way, these are very difficult to rank.
Defense is really tough. I mean,
you never really know. I mean, 1 week, your defense can get you.
You can have one key injury go down and your defense go way down.
Your defense can get you 20 points if they, you know, give up a field goal.
Yeah, it depends. It actually depends if they're playing a poor offensive team.
It can get you anywhere from 0 to 25 or 30 points a week. You know, I remember, back in the Ravens, when they had their killer defense, they were pulling in weeks with 30 points because they would, like, you know, they'd win 27-3, and I mean,
well, 30, I don't know if they scored 27 points. Their offense was very good.
Well, okay, but you know what I mean. They giving up 3 points a game. That's worth 30 points, 30 fantasy points, which is, you know, half a week sometimes for you.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, 10-6, mine go like this. The Washington Redskins, I mean, I think they'll be improved this year. I mean, Drew Gibbs is a hell of a defensive coach to have. Then the Seattle Seahawks. That Seahawks team, as much as I hate to say it, they have a lot of good young players on that team, and they're going to keep on improving. And I don't think they'll be a top 10 defense this year. I mean, I think they were middle of the pack or a little below that last year. And of course, they have a solid offense as well. So, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Many people, you know, we haven't heard much about them since the Super Bowl a couple years ago, but their defense is still solid. I mean, of course, they lost Warren Sapp and John Lynch and all those guys, but they still got good guys there to play well. And then Baltimore Ravens, another team that, you know, just a couple years ago that had a top three, top two, top one, you know, best defense in the league. They should actually return to that. I believe that Ray Lewis will be close to the Ray Lewis of old. You know, it's pretty hard to get back to that level he once was at. I mean, he's Ray Lewis. Arguably one of the greatest defensive players of all time. And then my last team, Jacksonville Jaguars, who is actually another one of my sleeper teams that I see going pretty, you know, having a good year this year. And I think their defense will lead the way. What about you?
I've actually got them at fifth, but I have Miami, Washington, Baltimore, New York, the Giants, and Tampa Bay. You know, I think as far as defenses go, you're going to have two or three for sure, you know, solid defenses. And then the rest, you know, it's going to depend a lot on who they're playing, and it's going to be pick up and drop a lot of times. But I think, you know, any of these defenses that we're really mentioning are going to be worth keeping. You know, it's always good to have two, just in case, you know, you're playing Indianapolis or something like that. But, so I got Miami, Washington, Baltimore, the New York Giants, and Tampa Bay. And then in my top five, I have the Jaguars, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Carolina, and then Chicago. I think Chicago and Carolina are, along with, you know, Pittsburgh and Indy, are going to be four that are set apart from the rest. I think those are going to be the top four this year. I don't think there's beyond that. I think the rest is going to be debatable and it could change easily. But I think those four, you know,
my top five is exactly the same, except I got the Giants at top five, so Jacksonville. I think Carolina can actually have the best defense. I mean, they just got, you know, they got arguably the, you know, one of the best defensive players in football, and Julius Peppers, and they get Jenkins back this year, who will help help the defensive line as well. One loss that will actually hurt them is Will Witherspoon, who went to the Rams. Was a good pickup for the Rams.
Of course.
He was. He was going to be a great middle linebacker for them. But, you know, the Bears, you really can't go wrong with either Carolina or the Bears. I mean, the Bears have the best defensive player in football, Brian Urlacher. I mean, I don't think there's any debating that. But, you know, this defensive team, just picking defense is, it's hard. I mean, you don't pick these teams so late anyways, so, because they're so inconsistent, and, you know, they could have an off week or play great offense, and, you know, so it's just tough to pick sometimes.
All right, well, now that you're the expert at fantasy football, there's some very specific draft strategies that are critical to success. Do you care to explain?
Well,
let me say this first. I think everybody knows that, you know, running backs are the top position, and looking through our mock draft at the lounge, what I see, and this is, you guys should know this by now, I'm not a football guy. I'm going to do the keeper this year in one other league, and that'll be it, and I'll probably finish last in both. But, you know, obviously running backs early, and you're going to have a few quarterbacks sprinkled in. You're going to have guys like Manning, maybe Brady, they might end up, both of those will probably end up in the first round, or at least Manning will. And then you're going to have your wide receiver run as soon as the running back run is over, and then you're going to start seeing quarterbacks during that time. Is that about accurate?
Yeah, I think what we had, what was it, 8 or 9 receivers picked in the second round?
It was 12, something like that.
It was something like that. So we had our run of running our wide receivers there.
And, you know, that's part of all fantasy sports, sensing these runs. Like, it's almost like, you know, the closer in baseball or the center in basketball. Once you see the run start, it's time to act. You know, I think wide receivers are the same way.
Yeah, our running backs, back to running backs, they win you championships. I mean, if you don't take a running back with your first two picks, you're not going to win.
Well, that's because they get receiving and rushing yards, right. You know, touchdowns both ways. Everything. They have the whole package.
Right. That's basically it. I mean,
what about defense? When do you generally?
Probably starting in the 7th, 8th round, around there. If not later than that. I mean, it depends. Like, you could be in leagues with, you know, some dummies who take defensive teams in the. In the, you know, 3rd, 4th round. And,
well, what about tight ends? Where do you think they should go?
I think you only take, I'll be honest with you, I think you only take Antonio Gates within the first 4 or 5 rounds, and then you just wait out on everybody because his numbers, like we said, are just so much better than the other 2 or 3 guys that are on our list. Because, you know, he puts up numbers like in touchdown numbers like a wide receiver does. So when you have your wide receivers gone, I think Gates is the next option to take. Now we turn our heads to baseball. And the prevailing story the last few weeks, A-Rod struggles. As he continues to pile up errors and the Yankee fans feel more and more pressure with their playoff chances, many are calling for A-Rod to leave New York. Brandon, is this really the answer?
Well, finally we get to some baseball, something I can talk about knowledgeably. The answer is for him to leave New York, and I know what you're going to say. He's hitting .280, but he's down 23 points since the very beginning of June. He's a career .305 hitter. Last year, he did have that MVP, like, he did have that year, you know, but, I mean, I don't know. The whole team is in trouble, let alone just A-Rod, but I think A-Rod is a guy that he's going to be very, very, very tough to trade. But if you can trade him, I think you're going to have to. He's got 18 errors this year, and that's tied for his second worst season outside of his rookie year. And we have what, how many months left of the season?
Two.
So, this, I mean, it's getting ridiculous. Defense and pitching is going to win the championships to the New York Yankees. And role players. These Hall of Famers are not going to win it. A-Rod, Giambi, Sheffield, Damon, Posada, all those guys, they aren't, that is not the answer. You can't, the Yankees are essentially creating a fantasy team. And that, it's obviously not working. They haven't won since 2001, or they haven't even been since 2001.
2003.
Well, whatever, okay?
Well, I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter because, okay, the when was the last time they won? 2000. When they had guys like Brocious and Tino Martinez and those guys, and obviously they're not going to go to the Hall of Fame. They weren't, you know, year after year all-star guys like A-Rod and Giambi and Sheffield, but they got their job done. They were role players.
The problem with that is, like, finding guys like that is just really hard to find. I mean,
okay, well, why not build your farm system?
Their farm system is actually, I mean,
what they've got two guys. They've got two guys. Duncan
top 12,
and Hughes.
Top 15.
Duncan and Hughes.
It takes time. I
top
mean,
15, that's half the league.
It takes time, though. You can't build a farm system overnight.
Well, it's their own fault, because back when they started doing this crap, that was back when they started, that's when they're minor leaguers.
Look, Cashman realizes that they need to build a farm system, and he said time after time that he's not trading Hughes. I mean, and that's the right move to go.
Then why don't the Yankees just not totally give up on winning, but abandon trying to win the whole thing every year.
That's obviously what they're doing, because if they were in such a dire need of a pitcher, they would have done it by now.
Okay,
they would have went out and got Dontrelle Willis or...
I think the whole world is shocked that they haven't gone out and gotten their pitcher. Every year the Yankees do this, they get their man, and it hasn't worked.
I don't think...
Randy Johnson? Come on.
Yeah, that was a bad... they've had bad investments. I'll admit that. I mean...
I think you can say half of their team probably was a bad investment.
I don't want to go that far. I mean... Yeah,
come on.
Pavano, Johnson, and Wright. I don't know if Wright can be considered a bad investment, because he's actually pitched pretty well this year. So, and he's won games for him and kept him in a lot of games. So.
I think in all actuality, you need an A-Rod-type player on your team, and then maybe... You know, someone along the lines of Sheffield, and then someone a little bit lower down like Posada for the Yankees. They don't need the likes of Giambi and Matsui and Damon and all these guys, you know. And another thing, they're just trying to, the way they play baseball is hit the ball out of the park. Back when they were when they had their run in the late 90s, it was more of a small ball approach.
That's not necessarily true, because they've lost a lot of power since they lost Matsui and Sheffield.
Well, that's not by choice.
But, no.
The team is not built to be a small ball team. Damon is the only person on that team who can really run.
Jeter's got over 20 stolen bases this year.
And that's even another guy I totally forgot to mention, is Jeter. And, you know, Jeter is a role player, but, I mean, I don't know. This Yankee situation is getting out of hand, and... I don't see them winning without getting rid of some of this.
Here's the thing. I mean, this team, you have to admit, this team is overachieving. From what they have on the field, they're overachieving.
I don't agree with that at all.
They have Melky Cabrera in left field, and they have, they have a platoon in right field. I mean, they have Bernie some days, and they have Aaron Guile, who I never heard of till, you know, he was with the Yankees. And
Bubba
Crosby.
They have not overachieved. That is a joke. Come on, look at the rest of the guys on the team.
They've overachieved. With the guys that they lost, they've overachieved.
Jeter's sitting,
pitching
340.
Yeah, but he's always done that.
Giambi's got how many home runs?
But he's hitting in the 250s.
So, but that's what I'm saying.
Damon's just having a typical Damon year. It's not like he's having a superstar or MVP caliber year. He's having a typical Damon year. And you've had Cano out. And
if A-Rod had it...
A-Rod's been inconsistent.
Okay, well, that's my point. If
A-Rod... And this team is still winning, and they're a game and a half out of the first place in the East, and they're leading the wild card, so...
If A-Rod was having a typical A-Rod year, and they still had all these injuries, the Yankees would be sitting in... they would be sitting almost probably in first in the AL East. Even without Sheffield and Matsui, that's my point. They don't need... all these guys.
But
they can get rid of Sheffield and Matsui. They can get rid of
A-Rod. Well, Sheffield's gone after. They're not going to re-sign Sheffield.
And they shouldn't.
Then the last couple of years, they've been people complain about their payroll, but last year they really reduced their payroll by almost $20 million.
Well, that's
so they're going to continue to reduce payroll.
That's wonderful. I really don't care how much money the Yankees spend. They can go out and spend three times that. Point is, they're not winning. They're winning games, but they're not winning championships. And in the biggest city of our country, and the biggest team in any sport, that's just not going to cut it.
But, I think they're doing the right thing. I mean, they're building up the farm system.
They have two good prospects.
But, no, all the other guys are at single A or lower. I mean, they got...
When do you think they're going to be able to come up?
17 years old. Okay, well, he's going to be a superstar. And he's at, I believe he's at single A now. He's at the higher single A level. I believe he's at the lower single A level before. He's going to be a good one in a couple years. And I think he's going to be in the rotation this year. I mean, you can't trade a guy. Posada and Giambi said in spring training that he has the best arm in camp. So you can't trade away that guy for a guy like Soriano or something like that, who, you know, they might not even re-sign.
All right, well, as we toss around the idea of dumping A-Rod, one trade really did go down today, and a flurry of other deals is possible. Early this morning, the Rangers traded Francisco Cordero, Kevin Mensch, and Lance Nix for Carlos Lee and a prospect to the Brewers. What do you think of this deal?
I think it's a good deal for both teams, and here's why. The Rangers are, two games out of the West?
Yes, like that. But come on, let's be honest. The team leading the division is 4 games over .500.
Yeah, so is the NL West, but, I mean, you can still make a run in the playoffs, and that's...
I wonder about the Rangers' mental state sometimes. They go out and they make these moves, and you think, you know, maybe they're actually going to try to prove themselves. And they actually look decent at times. But you can't just go out and get one player. They're going to have to get more players.
What else do they need?
Well, they need to start winning. They need to figure out something.
They need another pitcher, and that's
they
it.
They do need
Their
pitching.
Their offense is fine.
Okay, well, and pitching is what's most important.
Okay, well, but there isn't a great selection of starting pitching out there. That's why they probably went out and get a bat. I mean,
who's the
best pitcher available? But Greg Maddux, I mean, come on.
I think they gave up an awful lot for Carlos Lee.
They probably overpaid a little bit, but he's, you know,
Cordero could be a closer. Cordero can be a closer in a lot of places. You know, he's going to close for the Brewers. I mean, 95%
sure
of that.
Sure about that, yeah.
Kevin Mensch is a very quality player. Nix, you know, Nix was batting .094 and 32 at bats this year, but he's shown in the past, you know, he can be decent. And I mean, Mensch is hitting .284 and he has 12 home runs. You remember, like, what, 9 of those home runs came within like a 12-day span or something like that.
Yeah, something
when
like
he
that.
Changed
yeah.
his shoe size,
yeah,
ESPN made a big deal.
That is interesting.
But, I don't know, I think they gave up a lot.
I don't know. I mean, well, yeah, it's a good deal for Milwaukee. You get the closer and you get possibly 2 starting outfielders. So, they're always trying to cut payroll because they don't think they can get Lee, so it's a good deal for them. But I think it's also a good deal for the Rangers, especially if they can re-sign Lee. But that's a big if, of course.
Well, the other names being out there, the newest name we're actually being heard is Tejada. And apparently the Angels and the Astros are pretty interested in him. The Astros were making a big pitch for him. Also, Abreu, his dealing looks, it's starting to look less and less likely. I think he could go up if the Phillies could find somebody that would, you know, give him some pitching. And then you have Soriano, and he's reportedly got a very high price tag. He could be paired with Levon Hernandez, and I think if it's a contender, they could use Levon Hernandez because he pitched well when he played for a contender.
Well, I'll lead off with Abreu. I actually just read a thing this morning that's saying that Abreu could be paired with John Leyburn. The Yankees were talking about it.
Of course.
I'd rather have someone from off the street pitch over John Leyburn, but.
Basically, that's who the Yankees have, people off the street.
No, not necessarily.
That's the way they're pitching.
No, they're pitching, but you know what?
Back on topic, all right.
If you look at their rankings, their pitching isn't that bad. Okay, what were we talking about? Oh, we're talking about the trade talk. And Soriano, it's looking like more and more like he ain't going anywhere, so of course, the Yankees. And I've actually heard the Twins just in the last day or two, you know, were interested in them. And I heard they get out another young pitcher at AAA that they can willing to trade. I thought for sure, like, you know, 3 weeks ago that the Angels were going to get him. They got the best system in baseball by far. I mean, they got so many good young guys, but the problem with that is the Angels don't want to trade Howie Kendrick, and that's what the Nats want. So I don't know.
The thing about that, there's a lot more teams out there that would you know want Soriano and LeVon Hernandez.
I don't know about LeVon Hernandez.
Well, as I said before, if you look back in LeVon's career, he pitched well back when he was on a decent team that had a chance to, you know, do something. The Nationals, they don't have a chance to do anything. And, I mean, even as just a throw-in. But Soriano is, you know, Soriano. I was actually a little surprised the Yankees didn't get him.
Soriano's price tag is high, so I don't know if the Yankees want to pay that. But, you know, the Tejada situation is real interesting. I mean,
we haven't heard a lot about him until the last day.
Well,
let's
face it, the Orioles flat-out suck. There's no other way to say it. I mean, they sucked the last 3 or 4 years. They've just been terrible. Maybe Tejada and building up their – getting rid of Tejada and building up their system would actually be a good move for them. But the Astros, that could be a real interesting situation because – that they need offense badly, but I really don't understand him going to the Angels. I mean, they got Orlando Cabrera, who's, you know, I think he's solid.
He is.
He plays defense well, so I really don't want to understand that move. They got Tejada.
And I'm also hearing that if Tejada and, I mean, Lee's already gone. If Tejada and Abreu end up getting traded, the Nationals may end up following suit and trading Soriano. So I don't know.
Let's just look at it this way. And for the first time in many years, there's just so many teams competing. There's not too many sellers. So
well, there's not too many excellent teams either. That's why.
That's why
there's two divisions where the leader is a few games over 500. You've got the AL Central where you've got the, you know, the Sox and the Tigers and even the Twins in there, and then you've got the East, which has always been competitive. I think the only real, you know, non-competitive division is going to be the NL East because the Mets. Well, and
the Braves keep on winning. So.
It's the way it looked, but now it's becoming even closer. So you're right on that.
Many loungers are in our Fantasy Playmakers Fantasy Lounge Points League. And we have a bright update to give on it.
Oh, yes, we do. Panzram is leading the league like he has for the last, forever. And actually today, I pulled into second. I was in third, but now, at the moment, after Dempster got a save, I am in second. So I made up pretty good ground the last couple weeks.
Following that is Snake220709 in fifth, when Lammers27 is sixth.
And who's in 7th? Oh, that's Guru's MVPs. And following him in 11th is our other administrator, Zach. At least one of us could do well.
My team's playing like LVPs right now.
That's because you drafted.
Retard me, had Scott, or whatever, I don't know, Scott, Chris, Scott, is Skyler, whatever his name is. The guy from the Marlins, I had him on the bench yesterday.
Olson.
Scott Olson, right?
Yeah.
Chris Olson, and something like that. But I had him on the bench yesterday. He would have got me in 24 points, and I'd be in, sixth place right now.
It's funny that this
Wasn't I just in second place like a week ago? I mean, what in the world happened? I mean,
my team just took a dive
and
I ran up
stunk
on
the last week and a half. I don't know what's going on.
It's funny, this is the only league I didn't draft, and then I did draft the keeper.
Yeah, I thought your team sucked when I looked at it.
Well,
now you're in second place.
Apparently
it
does. And then in the keeper, Panzram, I don't know.
Well, he doesn't even, you know, he doesn't post set anymore. He's
I know what's up with
butts.
That. Come on. Okay, you're beating me 8-2 this week, and then we got Zach in second. And then, you know.
Hey, who's two spots in front of you? Oh, that's right, that's me.
Too bad you're
Guru's big bats.
Too bad
my bats suck.
Too bad you're still in sixth.
Well, I'll make the playoffs, and you'll be.
There's always next year. This is a keeper,
and that's a great attitude to take. Like, sounds like the Cubs to me. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Hopefully, our analysis or lack thereof will help you win your league.
Please remember to send all your mailbag questions to admin@fantasyloungeforums.com and visit the site at www.fantasyloungeforums.com. In case you haven't heard the news, we will be opening a new site in September, including rankings and articles, so you won't want to miss that. Of course, the forums will still be around in a main part of the lounge. For Kevin, this is Brandon signing off.
Have a good week, guys.